Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 237, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Tuesday, May 17th, 2022, which, of course, means
it's National Cherry Cobbler Day.
Hey.
And also National Graduation Tassel Day. I guess shout out to those tassels.
This is the day that you like get your tassel right in preparation for.
I don't know. You get your tassels out and you kind of look back and you're like, I did that. Eighth grade. I did that.
No. Fifth grade. Kindergarten. Yeah. Nailed
exactly.
It.
Right, right.
Is tassels the thing that people hang on to? Like,
I couldn't tell you where the fuck any of mine are.
Yeah. I feel like I threw mine up and that was it.
Probably in a box in my mom's house.
Yeah, I have it because my mom sent it to me and it remains in a closet and it's like so big that like the closet door can never close around it.
Did you get the big one? The big boy size?
Oh yeah, we want big. We want big. You don't want that.
I told my mom when I graduated, she's like, okay, you're gonna get the diploma. I'm like, they're trying to charge me fucking money. Fuck that. I have it. Don't worry. If there's ever a question, they can find out. But I know I went through that. I have a diminished brain cell. That proves it.
Yeah. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Potatoes O'Brien. I think I'm taking a break from AKAs because Miles bodied that 9-to-5 Taco Bell AKA so thoroughly that.
Thank you so much. I mean, that's half at Waffle House. You know,
you guys together. It was a team effort. It was a work of art. As Roger Ebert said about Cameron Crowe when Vanilla Sky came out, Cameron Crowe needs to take a stop, quit making films, and think about why he wanted to do it in the first place. That's how much he didn't like Vanilla Sky.
Sheesh.
Just the meanest thing I've ever read in a movie review. So I always think about it. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Dueling, 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 dueling. go to Circle K to get that purple can. Woo. Okay, shout out to Nikki Nine Lives at Nikki underscore Nine Lives on Twitter, keeping the, you know, the wonderful Dolly, Mountain Dew, Taco Bell just energy up, which is, I like how Dew Lean actually works, because they're calling that new purple Mountain Dew purple drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wait, is it Mountain Dew with lean? But I guess Dew Lean is really the only way to call it now. Yeah. So,
and also the best version of that song is Screwed. So it does sound a little bit like,
wow,
you know,
true.
She's been sipping some lean.
Playing that, what is it? Playing it at a 33 RPM.
Yeah, 33 RPMs. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a brilliant poet, political activist, academic, MC, and podcast host of the Must Listen Hood Politics with Prop on Cool Zone Media. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Jason Petty, a.k.a. Propaganda!
What up, what up, what up, what up? West Coast. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What's new?
Hey, man, ain't nothing changed but the weather. You know what I'm saying?
There it is.
Like the old folks would be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Same shit, different day, little note.
Exactly.
Tell you something real, some sort of can't complain, wouldn't do nothing anyway.
So you're in Atlanta, Georgia. Are you able to tell people that you're out there?
Yeah. No, I'm some of y'all may know I'm a avid coffee enthusiast. I like coffee, and just working on a couple projects. Last year I did a collab drop, you know, with a roaster called Onyx, little small lot thing. So now I got this other partner I'm working with out in Atlanta out here. So I was doing what's called a cupping, which is just basically like, you've ever been to like a wine tasting? It's kind of like that for coffee.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
You spit it out?
You do, because it's a lot of coffee. Like, you should definitely spit it out.
Oh, wait. So what? At a cupping, how many coffees are you trying in a sitting?
Okay. So usually, it depends on how big the cupping is. But like, usually you try to go clockwise, so there's four per round.
Per round? Shit, okay.
Yes. No, that's why I was like, yeah, spit it out. Wow. And first you grind it, you smell it dry, you know, and then you're writing, you know, when you buy a bag of coffee, it has all those flavor notes written on there.
Sure.
Yeah, so this is where those come from. And then there's a number. There's actually like I know it sounds like I'm deep in the hole here, but it sounds, there's a, an actual like agreed upon, like standardized number of ratings for like a quality of coffee, for something to be considered like specialty coffee. It's got to be like an 80 or above. It's on a scale of like 1 to 100.
Gotcha.
So, you know, if you're going to do like the specialty, like coffee shop coffee, not like the, like, you know, Java chip, you know,
right.
That's more like second wave. Usually those are more rated in like either the high 70s or very low 80s.
Do they ever just throw some Folgers in there to fuck with you?
Yeah, you're going to catch it immediately. You know what I'm saying? And what's funny about Folgers is like, it's because by the time it got into the can, in the little plastic can that they airtight sealed, it's like, that coffee's like a year old.
Right.
Before it even got to the shelf. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
What's Folgers score at? Like a 25?
Yeah, Folgers is like, what's left on the table? We'll buy all of it.
Oh, so it's the shake what's after left? You broke. Yeah, after you broke the pound down, whatever's left on the table, you bag that up and call it Folgers.
Yeah, that top 5%, those like 90s and 95s and like 98 rates, they don't even make it to America. Like Dubai, Qatar, like the Middle East buys all those. So we're not even getting the best coffee.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
It really is like drugs where you're like, no, you're not actually, it's you're not getting even like it does totally in other places. It gets stepped on its way here.
Yeah, you don't even get that. They don't even show it to you. Like if you're an American buyer, like the farmer's not even going to show it to you because like, oh, you can't afford this. Don't even worry
about it. Don't worry about it. Hey, you can try Folgers though.
Yo, we got these C- grades. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so I've been doing something lately. So for a while, I switched off to tea and was doing some matcha. Then I went down to Guatemala, had to partake in the coffee there. Have not backed off of the coffee since then, but I have been putting half water, half coffee in my cup in the morning. And I just want you to tell me how disgusting and stupid that is. Go ahead.
Listen, man. There's a bell curve of, I mean, that sounds awful, But there is a bell curve of like anything. It's like when you first discover it, you're like a new Christian about it. You know what I mean? So you're like evangelizing with everybody. And then you hit like a snobbity, right?
Yeah.
And then that's where everybody's like, oh God, everybody knows the coffee snob. But then you come down the other end of that to where you're just like, look, dude, you like what you like.
Yeah.
You know? An Americano is that. It's an espresso shot you add water to. Yeah. Right. You know? Now, granted, if you're just brewing a regular drip cup of coffee and then adding water, I'm like,
hot water, yeah.
There's probably a better way to do this. But if that's how you like it, that's your cup. I'm pretty sure 5, you know, Michelin star chefs will still go to like Fenway Park and get a hot dog, you know, and it's like, I love it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's all relative, you know?
Yeah.
But
I am almost,
you've almost given me a new assignment to pull up on you and be like, okay, let me make this cup for you.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you want less caffeine, right? Is that the idea? You just want
less caffeine and just, I'm drinking it black in the mornings. I've moved off of my Coffee Mate days, which I realized was killing me probably faster than I anticipated.
Killing you softly.
And so now I'm doing black coffee. But black coffee, if you drink too much of it, gives you a little like, you know, you can get sores in your mouth if it's too strong, if it's that Starbucks stuff.
Shit, so for real?
I'm just trying to keep it real. And I just like it better to like have it be kind of a little smoother. Good.
And the thing is like, I mean, we're way off the rails here, but like that's like, cause I could spend a whole hour talking about this stuff, but like, I think that first of all, like I know y'all got doctors in the building, so let me be careful when I say this, but like diluting it doesn't remove the caffeine. You're still drinking the same amount of caffeine.
Yeah, no, for
you
sure.
Know? Just more volume.
Okay, as long as you know that, you know what I'm saying? But I will say there's a different ratio where you can brew it to the dilution that you like, to the parts per, you know, parts per centimeter, I don't know, that you like. That's not you just brewing a cup of coffee and adding water to it. Like there's a way that we can make your ratios be exactly what it is. So that way, like, you're still not, but you need to taste the bean. Like, you know. Now you're not tasting it, you know what I'm saying? And I bet you, like, if it's right, you could be tasting it, you know what I mean?
To be fair, my coffee might have been too strong in the first place. Like, my teeth would be black when I joined the call, like, just completely black. And, like,
true.
You know, one time I spilled a little bit on the table and it melted through it like alien blood. So it might have been...
Oh, it's clearly a user error then.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's all on that side.
Prop, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are telling our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the racist terror attack that happened in Buffalo, replacement theory, just racist Republican rhetoric in general. We're going to talk about Law and Order, tackling Havana Syndrome
When you said Law and Order, I'm like,
and then we're going to talk about Law and Order upholding. No, we're going to talk about the show Law and Order.
That Dick Wolf stuff.
Yeah, the Dick Wolf. so much changes when you just change the emphasis.
Yeah.
Yep.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Prop, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
The scientific word for your Adam's apple.
Oh. Mm. Larynx?
Exactly. But there's it's like the laryngeal protrusion.
Oh, because this is your larynx. And then right here. Okay.
Yeah. So my wife and I, now this is a recurring thing. One, if we all know the type of personality that you can't say nothing without them immediately Googling it because they just never believe. No one's an expert.
Right.
Like no one's an expert. So she's already that. And it's fair for her to feel like that because she actually is. She's a PhD in Ed Paul. She's actually an expert. You know what I mean? Right. In her field. So, but she'll ask me a question and I am a wealth of like, I'm basically like, I'm not a pro in anything, but I'm a D1 athlete in everything. Mm-hmm. So I know these pieces of information that just like, I shouldn't know this, but I do. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
So same. When she was like, hey, what's the scientific term, you know, for your Adam's apple? I was like, it's your voice box. She was like, what's the scientific term? I was like, it's the larynx. And she was like, but girls have them. And I'm like, yeah, because it's your voice box. That's the name of the thing. Ours just protrude. She's like, well, what's the name of the protruding thing? I was like, it's the larynx. So I was like, it's still a larynx. It just sticks out. She was like, that's not what I'm asking. So I had to Google. So I had to Google it. And I was like, see, larynx. She said, nope, that's a derivative of the term larynx.
And I was like, laryngeal prominence.
Yes, that's it. The laryngeal prominence. I was like, you see that the root word is larynx. She was like, you, Jason, you're just not right. I was like, God.
You're like, but it comes from Larynxville. We all know.
Like, it's, yeah, so I'm like, but they from Larynxville.
Look at the flag is flying out his pockets. You know it's from that part. It's from the larynx
you
area.
You know where you're from. Hilarious.
I hope to one day in my career achieve laryngeal prominence.
Right.
You know.
Who do you think? Yeah, who has the most famous? Who actually, if we're going to say laryngeal prominence, is there anyone we point to as our...
Who's got the most famous Adam's apple?
Who's got the most... Do we even think about that? I don't think so.
I think Tyler, the Creator, has a pretty big Adam's apple.
Mm.
Okay. Celebs who won many hearts with eye-catching Adam's apples is a fucking... This is all K-pop, though. This is like all different K... This is just basically a list of different K-pop dudes. Okay, so I guess so. People, they like the prominence on here.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Geo-prominence.
I'm trying, like, the John Hawks strikes me as somebody who has, like, the type to have a very laryngeal prominence, a very prominent prominence happening. You know, like that, like, real
prominent
skinny
prominence.
Dude.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But he doesn't have one, I don't think.
Oh, like DJ Qualls? Remember DJ Qualls from
DJ
like Road
Qualls
Trip?
Is who I was thinking of, but I couldn't come up with.
Oh yeah, that actor DJ Qualls. I'm because you said the thinness, and I was like, wait, now I'm putting visuals together, and I'm like, DJ Qualls. Although I'm not really, does he got a? Yeah, it's all right. Kind of prominent, you know.
Love it. I think it was definitely like a sign of, as a child, like I thought that was a sign of like manhood.
Oh
whenever
yeah.
Whenever I got it, I was like. I'm a man now.
I'm here. It's wild how you ascribe those things. Just like, man, I hope my throat has a big bulge in it so people know I'm a man. Like, what? It's like, same way I was like, I hope I get this armpit hair so they know what's up.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a man. I got armpit hair and a walnut in my neck.
Yeah, exactly.
I can still remember, like, in... middle school trying to like lead with that part of my neck to see if I could like get it popping out a little bit and never came.
So you entered a room Adam's apple first? Like
yeah. I tried. Or like in the mirror. Up, you know?
Post puberty.
Yeah. 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 Uh-huh.
That was like me when I got the armpit hairs. Guess who was rocking sleeveless tees that summer?
All the time.
Just like, what's up, y'all? Yeah, I got 13 hairs right there. You know what time it is.
You
and
see
meanwhile,
it? You
that's
see
like
it?
My freshman year of high school. All my other friends are like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? They're like, Chris got a beard. And I'm like, fuck.
Damn it. Yeah, I was definitely a very late bloomer. I didn't get facial hair till college. Like, I was super late.
Man, I'm almost 40 and I barely have facial hair. So I mean, I'm still waiting.
Yeah,
know?
My beard still don't connect.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
Yep.
What's something you think is overrated prop?
Topo Chico.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's sparkling water.
But yeah. And that's Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and it's yeah, it's great. I'm like, I don't understand. And I feel like the like, it felt to me just, I just woke up one day and it was everybody's favorite drink.
And yeah. Like, you know, I felt like what it did was it gave people who were too, like, because LaCroix became too cool. They're like, no, I need something more like esoteric. Like, I'm just not drinking canned seltzer like everybody else. Have you heard of Topo Chico? It comes from Mexico. It's in the glass bottle. And I'm like,
different.
Yeah, I'm like, it's
it
too carbonated
hurts your
for me.
Mouth.
It's so carbonated. Yeah. I'm like when I take a sip,
it's absurd. Like, I feel like I didn't drink anything. I feel like I just, I gulped air. I'm like, where's the liquid?
Yeah, it's like cotton candy. It just dissolves. The water dissolves in your mouth. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, so it's fine. Like, I just feel like, not that I'm like, I know I just spent the first 20 minutes of this going into deep nerdery about coffee for me to come into this seltzer water and be like, well, it's seltzer water. Like, it's just, I don't understand the gratings. Like,
right.
Just, I don't, it's like, it's water with bubbles. And then you throw some, I don't get it. I understand how that's the walking contradiction I am for, again, talking so long about coffee, but I still feel like it's overrated. I'm like, it's, why is this so much more special than anything else? It's
right.
It's overrated.
It's the marketing. I think, I mean, and I feel like this is a very LA thing though, too. Like where all like, it's like, I've, it's almost like a class signifier now where people are like, shitting cans is for the broke boys. Like, we sip the bottled topo over here. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like, it's all at the end of the day, it's all carbonated water. But
yeah. Sure. Like, if you go to a restaurant, that's the only, like, if you ask, like, hey, you know, you're looking at the drink, man, that's the only thing that gets to use its name brand. Because most of the time it's like, yeah, we got iced tea, we got lemonade, we got Topo Chico.
Right.
Like, why does it get its own name? Like, why do y'all... What is so, you could be like, we got sparkling water. Like, you could say that.
It's because the branding is just so next level. Yeah.
Yes. You need to know. So it's so overrated.
The branding is the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it truly is. I mean, it's like, you know, you'll drink something because like LaCroix sounded better than, you know, the seltzer. It's what everyone was drinking at a certain point. But, you know, Topo, we see you. They're out here.
Yeah.
See you, Topo.
I would. The one interesting thing I've ever read about marketing was about the guy who like took Jägermeister from being a like aperitif thing that helped with digestion to being like a party keg frat house thing. And then like with that capital, he launched Grey Goose. And it was, it was interesting. And like his thesis was just like, what if we made a vodka that was 45% more expensive than every other vodka, and we put a wine cork in it. And it was interesting for like how little there was there. It was just like this sense of this like ineffable thing and like how people would read a product.
Wow.
But like, I feel like I want somebody to write that article about how the seltzer water like wars happen. Like who's coming through and being like, nah, Topo Chico's the next one, LaCroix's bullshit, and then like everybody just follows it, because there is probably like very little difference beyond the branding, but it's there's probably an interesting way to read into that
for sure. And I think they're doing the same. I think honestly it's like Voss, right? It's in a glass bottle. It's not from America. And suddenly it's like premium, you know?
I feel like, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. This was hard for me to come up with, but I feel like we're not talking enough about the entire like catalog of like the Apple Plus shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like they have not missed.
Wow.
I started a preview of it to start watching Severance.
Bro.
And I'm like, but every time I read, you know, because I'm so inundated with new streaming announcements, I'm like, another thing? And Apple Plus has another good one. Wait, what else?
Yeah, so I've neglected all the other streams and I'm letting those fill up because I'm so locked in on the Apple ones.
Like, okay.
And I'm going back to like their first launch. They had a show called C with
Jason Momoa.
And like just the whole concept of like, 400 years later in the future, like the genetic trait of seeing is now not around. You know,
we've
built an entire world where seeing feels like witchcraft. You know what I'm saying? And just the world building in that show. It's so incredible. So there's C morning show. Everybody's already raving about that. They had one called Foundation that was like hella science fiction and multiversey and interplanetary. Like they're just tapping every. Severance is absurd. And then The M. Night Shyamalan series. Why am I blanking on the name of that? But I just finished it.
That's the nanny one. Yeah.
It's like like they have not missed. Really? The doc they did on Abraham Lincoln, which plot twist was actually about Frederick Douglass, and it was like, whoa, this is incredible. Like they just haven't missed. Mm.
Okay. Damn. Okay.
And it makes me so mad that nobody, like, why are y'all not seeing these shows? Like, this stuff is incredible.
I'm barely seeing anything. We were talking about this last week. There's so much shit out there. I actually don't even know where to start. And the thing I mentioned is it takes like four or five specific people all at once to say, you need to watch this. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, then it's good.
Yeah.
Because
I feel you. I've just resolved to just go at my own pace. I'm like, right, I am going to. That's why I was like, I've neglected everybody else, because I'm like, you have yet to fail me. I've liked everything you put out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to ignore everybody until I'm done with these. And then be like, oh, yeah, you said that was dope. Okay, I'll check that out. But they're going to wait. You know what I'm saying? You're not finna pressure me.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a Cheesecake Factory menu. You know what I mean? It's so fucking big. Yeah. And then I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to just do the thing I always do.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of what I feel like with all this streaming shit.
I'm going to get that shrimp Alfredo, dude.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that looks good. Fuck it, Chicken Littles. Thank you.
Yep.
Say less.
Can't miss.
Yep. Hey, let me get an extra corn cob. Please, an extra corn cob.
I don't know anybody who's like committed to one of the streaming services, and maybe that's a good way to just cut down on the clutter.
Single file line. I'm like, I'm gonna do this in a single file line. It's like, it's not your turn, you know.
Right.
Once
I finish
this Apple show, I'd be like, ooh, I wonder if Amazon got something cracking.
And you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I don't need to be on time with the Twitter discourse. I'm just gonna watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm single file line, you know. It's like, oh, okay, so we got some more Ozarks. All right, when I'm done with this, mm-hmm, I'm going to this Ozark.
Oh, so you're single actually, line. The way it looks like is like you can actually sort of visualize your own queue of like shit you're going to watch. Whereas
to me, it
all becomes nebulous. I'm like, fuck it, I ain't got time for that. And that just means I will never think about it again. Whereas you're a little more organized. Online. Yeah, I need that.
Yes, single file line. That's what I think about. Exactly. I think about that with music too, single file line.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Wow. How far behind are you?
Well, I'm caught up now.
Oh, wow.
There are people that get cut in front of the line passes.
Yeah. Some things you're like, okay, hold on. Yep, the ratios are good. Yeah. All right, you can come in.
Like Kendrick. You got to cut in front of the line pass.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And we're back. And full disclosure, we were talking about the Kendrick album over the break. I think we're all on board. Takes a little while. I get to, after I drop the kids off, I get to like dig in.
But yeah,
they're still on their, you know, trying to think what their favorite song is right now. But they're back to, after having a brief dalliance with the new Pusha album, they're back to wanting to listen to just very basic pop music. And
now that they're over the
yeah.
album.
Yeah, BTS and Ninja Kids. Hopefully right. You don't have Ninja Kids in your house.
No, we don't have Ninja Kids yet. Mm.
Good.
Yeah, thank God. So like his albums take me a long time. All albums take me a long time, but like I feel like I'm the first two songs are now like fully in my blood and are incredible. I feel like I can confidently
fully in your blood. Say, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nope. I approach his work like, well, mostly hip hop stuff, but I approach his work from like three different positions. There's just me as a fan of hip hop. There's a me as like an LA native also. And then there's me as also a professional rapper.
Right.
You know, so there's like, for me, it's like, I'll listen straight through top to bottom twice, you know, and then go back and be like, all right, let's go one by one.
Let's
so it takes me
down.
A while too, but like, you know, and then there's it seems absurd, but like, you know, if you're talking about one of the three most largest artists in the world, you know, that you still have a competitive streak about, like, I probably would have done it like this. You know what I'm saying? And it's absurd to say it, but it's like, you're still the competitive part about you. Like, damn it. He said that way better than I would have.
Right. You know? Right. How does he do it?
Damn it. Right.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to a seminar with Eckhart Tolle now. Seems like that's the secret of when I listen to that, I'm like, wow, you sound like me when I graduated college and I got the power of now for the first time. I'm like, are y'all reading this shit?
Yeah. That's, you know what's funny? It's crazy because like I'm here at this record label, like we were all talking about the idea that like he sounds 35, which is what he is, which is perfect. But it's like somebody who just discovered that you were full of shit. You know what I'm saying? And we all remember the day we discovered we were full of shit. And like you said, where you're just like, oh my God, you need therapy. Hey guys, did you know you needed therapy? And we're like, yeah, we know. But it's cool to hear him, to hear him get to the moment to be like, yeah, man, you got it, young brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We know, you know.
Right.
What if that person who was saying, oh my God, you guys, we need therapy, was a once in a generation genius?
Yeah, then it's that. Yeah. 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 But, whose creative abilities far surpasses any other human on the planet right now. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about, you know, there was a terrorist attack, mass murder in Buffalo over the weekend by a white supremacist who, you know, the first thing they cited was also the same thing. The first thing the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter cited, also the first thing the El Paso Walmart shooter cited, which is this replacement theory, which is now like a we have to have a name that sounds serious around this shit that is just straight up white supremacy, and white people are should be left to rule without anybody around. Like, they should be protected by laws, and if they're not, they're going to murder people, essentially.
I'm curious, so many things. I'm curious if the Democrats use this again, like another thing where they're like, well, at least we're not them, and not offer any solution. You know, and or if we're going to see, I mean, we've already seen conservatives double down. There's some Republicans who are already saying things like this was a false flag event, you know, put together by, you know, who, George Soros type shit, and continuing to try and, you know, pretend that there is no there. But I mean, as it stands, I'm like, I'm like, I, you know, Dick Durbin said, you know, like we need increased gun control. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But are we talking about the real engines that's driving this violence too? Like, guns are guns make like the problem worse, because that's the environment that these people are in, where they have access to guns. But these people, where they are turning, is from their radicalization, whether that starts at home or online or whatever. But this is white supremacist terror. And I think the lone wolf shit, I'm tired of hearing that. There's a total media, you know, ecosystem for these people to like learn from each other, get radicalized, share shit with each other. It's just a very, I think, disingenuous like description of like this problem that is just clear as day.
I mean, there's the like the parts of the story that I've been like kind of avoiding for like my own rage, in the sense of like, like being a violent like white man, somehow there's a force field around your body. Like, you're just, nothing can never happen to you. Like, the idea that like this man told the internet what he was gonna do, wrote it down on a paper, and then drew on his gun, and then live streamed the thing, and somehow or another there's still a question about this man's motives, and the fact that he didn't get shot on sight. Like, this, like, you have a, you're a mutant. Like, you have a force field. Like, that, why are you not, how are you able to actually be brought to justice? So I'm like avoiding that part, because it's frustrating, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the history of like what it meant, you know, all the way back to like the 60s and 70s of this movement being like, it's going to be a leaderless movement, totally decentralized. Like, there's no main figure, so that as we interact, you know, act out these things, we all seem like lone wolves, because you can't track how we've been talking to each other. The only problem is we could track how you've been talking to each other, and that we know that this was your plan, right? Not only that, I'm like, the replacement theory stuff, like the part that frustrates me about the media is like, is the idea that like, y'all acting like this shit is new. Like, they haven't been telling us this is the way they felt.
Right.
For a long time. You know what I'm saying? And that when people, when the experts were ringing the alarms way back in 2014, 2015, 2016, being like, hey, listen, we're not headed for a civil war. We're already in one. They're at war. Don't you understand? Like, they are at war.
Listen, and how
this
they
talk. Was just, yeah, listen to how they talk. That's what he's trying to tell you. He's telling you he at war because you think, you have a fear of becoming a minority. And it's like, and you're also revealing your cards, which we already know who you are, because it's like, well, what's so bad about being a minority? Well, it's because you're assuming that the majority is going to treat you the way you treated minorities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So like, that's why you don't want to be one. So I'm like, why y'all acting like y'all ain't know this is, You're acting like y'all didn't know. Like, well, how you acting like you so surprised about this?
Yeah. You know, because there's this thing of like never wanting to talk about it. I mean, it wasn't until the summer of 2020 when the media was like white supremacy, like out loud. You know, it's like, wow, that fucking took decades to normalize the use of that term. It was always racially charged or all this euphemistic bullshit. And, you know, now it's like we're at another thing. They were unable to, or the media is unable to say white supremacist terror.
You know, and if I mean? I'm them, and if I'm those dudes, I'm frustrated. I'm like, fam, we keep telling you where we stand.
Right.
Like, we telling you exactly what we think. What is y'all's questions?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we out here doing. I wrote it. I live streamed it. What is your question?
Right.
Yeah.
It's, and that's what I'm like, you know, that's what I'm curious to see what happens with the tone of like talking about, you know, Liz Cheney, right? Who's a Republican who's been ousted by her party, but she decided to take the sane approach, or at least the human one, to be like, man, this is a real problem within the party. It has to be discussed. Like, this is, there's too much anti-Semitism, anti-Black race, just all kinds of xenophobia. It's bad.
Mm.
But I don't see the Republicans have and take any interest in this, in trying to, you know, say, you know what, this is bad. This is the rhetoric that comes out of people in the party or from people on Fox News. It's contributing to this environment, because the message that's being sent to white voters or white people who, you know, or conservatives are hearing, oh, you see what the immigrants are coming. That's where the baby formula is gone. That's why you don't have a job. That's why the factory shut down. It's that just feeding on itself. And there's something really interesting on MSNBC. There's this guy who was a Brendan Buck. He was an advisor to both speakers, Ryan and Boehner, right? GOP speakers of the House. And he basically said, you know, when he was asked, like, you know, what do the Republicans have to do here? Like, what do they need to do to start getting things together, to start cleaning up the House? And he said, it's kind of tough. And he said something that I don't think he realized how like honest it sounded, but he said, you know, Republicans, they don't want to go after anybody else except Republicans. And when you do that, you can't afford to lose the racist vote. You just can't.
Woo.
Wow.
You can't. And he said it in a way that was like pained or whatever. But I was like, shit. That's all. Who that's literally this? How y'all Dick talk. Durbin? Huh?
His,
who said it? Dick
somebody Durbin? No, this is Brendan Buck. He's an advisor. He was an advisor to Speaker of the House John Boehner and Tim Ryan. Yeah. So Republican speakers, like that's whose office he was in. And he just said that's the problem with where the Republicans are going. They don't care about independence or trying to bring anybody else in. So all they have to do, and this is what we talk about, they just have to double down on the racism because they cannot have that. That's money on the table to them. And because the policies are a certain way, that's why you always hear them having to mainstream this shit, like whether it's Elise Stefanik, who is a member of the House from New York, who on Friday was saying the same shit, great replacement theory type nonsense about they've got a silent revolution happening, Joe Biden, where all the immigrants are going to come in. And that's who's going to be voting. That's what America is going to be, without using the words. But, you know, that like, looking at all of that, it's very difficult. Like, Republicans aren't going to touch it. And now at this point, I feel like the way the media should write about them, considering the rhetoric that comes out of there, is like, you know, this is a group that's, you know, that is a openly supports domestic terror.
Yeah.
There's nothing about what they're talking about from what I'm looking from Congress people or senators or state senators or local legislators. They're saying straight up neo-Nazi bullshit.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's a part that's like visceral to me in being like, you know, we're Cali kids. So, you know, I didn't come from like a Jim Crow state. You know, I'm not from the Deep South. So the way that the type of racism I experienced throughout my upbringing was not like something in that sort of world. Right. So the part that you're bringing up about the Republican Party is the part that like, it's just is like the trauma inducing, like triggering thing for me. Cause it's like, you know, if you like, I got bussed out to a suburban school. So when I'm like, I know this little kid, I know what this boy is saying. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else who's a person of color know exactly what you're saying, but you're not saying it.
Right.
And they could always fall back and be like, dude, what are you talking about, man? Like, I didn't even say that. That's not fair. I didn't even know I didn't say that. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm trying to go to an authority figure again, I'm in the burbs. Like, even if I try to go to an authority figure, I look like I'm the crazy one. It's like, you know, listen, you know, maybe you guys need to work this out. You know, he didn't say that. You know, that's not what he said. You're putting words in his mouth. And I'm like, what the? You like, you really like, so I'm stupid. Like, it's like, and I just remember feeling like I'm so, you're treating me like I'm stupid. I flash back to the, do you remember the Right to Life movement with that little boy was like kind of grilling that Native American guy? You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Covington Catholic.
And how the part that frustrates me the most is like the ambiguity of his grin in the sense that like, I was like, I know that smirk to where it's like, you can't really say I did anything because I was just standing here. I was just standing here smiling. What do you mean? I was being respectful. The guy was talking. I didn't say anything. I just smiled.
Right.
You know, and like, but I'm like, you're right. I can't, but I'm so frustrated because we all know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, it's like, that's what frustrates me about the Fox News, about the Republican Party right now. It's like, bro, you're going to sit across the table and act like you don't know what you're doing. That you're going to be like, well, of course we don't condone a mass shooting. What are you talking? See, that's why we can't talk to you liberals, because you're always going to call us, you know, say that we're this, but nobody ever said that. You know, it's like, okay, man. Yeah, you did. You did say it. And we all know what you're saying.
What they're doing is they're acknowledging white supremacy in your face.
Yes.
Without having to use the words. That's what that smile is. It says, you know what time it is.
Yes.
Like, I can smile. Guess what? You're pissed. Like, you don't like this, do you? And you know why. Because we know the history of this place. Yeah. That's why. And that's what a lot of this is. It's just winking at it because people do know. But sometimes it's just dog whistled enough to not fully get people to be like, wait, is this racism? Or do you be like, yeah, that's right. That thing that I feel good about again. Like,
yeah.
What is that thing I can't quite put my finger on? And that's what they're doing. But increasingly more aggressive ways and rhetorically more violent ways, which is you're only seeing this. It but only begin continue to manifest in the physical space.
Yeah, the just broader context, because so the New York Times wrote this piece about the idea of replacement theory that made it seem like kind of a new thing, like you were saying, Prop. And but they talk about it, you know, tracing it back to like the tiki torches. So like we go from the tiki torches, which people were laughing at the time, and them saying like, you will not replace us. Jews will not replace us. And like, that was this, you know, staggering kind of like, I don't know. People were laughing at it at the time. Now we have replacement theory, which they make it sound like it's like a fucking college course.
Yeah.
You know, you now somebody can say they can't afford to lose the racist vote, and I can't picture their career like being damaged badly from saying that, like in the modern.
No, because he works for conservatives. He's
right.
He's not trying to get a job with, you know, with AOC or some shit.
And
he works in that group of people, and they're like, he's smart. Yeah. He know, and like that's what it is. Like, he's smart. He's smart enough to know what the dynamics are here. This party stands for this. Unfortunately, part of that coalition are racists, or maybe fortunately, whatever, maybe outwardly says unfortunately, but still we got to court them because that's the thing.
But there's this paragraph in this New York Times piece that basically just like runs through the Democrats like bona fides on being tough on immigration, that it feels like is structured to be like a counter to the talking points and like the supposed like replacement theory, but it's like drenched in white supremacy and like the ideals of white supremacy. Like they're like, I'll just read it. Democratic politicians have generally been more supportive of immigration than Republicans, especially in the post-Trump era, and have pushed for more humane treatment of migrants and refugees. But the number of immigrants living in the United States illegally, which rose throughout the 90s and aughts, first began to decline under President Obama, a Democrat whom critics nicknamed the deporter in chief. There's no evidence of widespread voting by non-citizens and others who are ineligible. And while Mr. Biden has laid out plans to expand legal immigration, federal agencies have expelled more than 1.3 million migrants at the southwest border on his watch, while continuing some of the more restrictive immigration policies begun by former President Trump. So it's like, they're like fact checking them with white supremacy, it feels like. Where
yeah.
like
yeah.
And being like, no, we're good. We're with you. Like,
he's racist enough.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Why are you mad at him? He did the thing he's supposed to do to be, you know.
He's like, I'm deporting y'all too. I'm just nice about it. Yeah, that's my my wife again, who like works in like Latino spaces, she's always said that too. She's like, No, we are deported at the same rate, no matter who in the office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, which is factual, you know. But it's crazy the way that, yeah, the way that they're kind of like playing that is almost like they're saying it like it's almost like the New York Times is saying it as if that's a good thing.
Well, like, yeah, but that's their audience,
like,
right?
What are you talking about? Like, well, no, they're getting rid of the brownies, too.
Right. Yeah. And that's and I think that's what it is. It strikes you differently, Jack, because you're not one of these people who's like, well, how racist are the Democrats?
Right.
Yeah.
And is that good enough?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so revealing that that's the like, for them, the stakes are, well, have they ticked the racist enough box to the xenophobia quota? Have they reached that? Yes. If they have, then what's the problem? Why are you attacking them on that? We've agreed that we can do that. And, you know, just again, a completely terrible take to have going into a story like this when, again, every outside observer, anybody who studies, you know, these fringe movements or like civil war type things are just saying inequality is driving all this. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Inequality is the reason people are like this, because their existence, it feels so fraught. But again, because no one is actually doing a good job of informing people, it leaves a vacuum for people to fill it with all this hateful bullshit. And you have people convinced that's the reason why, you know, the world is the way it is. I don't know how angry you'd be. You know, granted, there are people who are just violent racists, but there are also people who are really stressed out, who have their backs against the wall financially and feel like they're in a place where everything's working against them. And if someone offers you a tidy narrative as to what that is, and it's not necessarily revolutionary thought, then that might be a better track for people. And that's what's so fucked up, is that like, both sides aren't willing to tell people why the fuck their lives are the way they are.
Right.
And they can't. And that's the problem. And that's why we're not getting anything done.
Thing. Yeah, you can't. Because then the solutions, like you said, it's like, well, we all understand crimes of survival. Like you.
Right.
We get those. You know what I'm saying? And in some ways, if that survival instinct is tied to a supremacist feel, and then you already know, well, the answer is, I can't survive if there's too many of these people. I'm going to get rid of those people.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that you've now added, like you're saying, you've added another inroad to something that somebody would have thought was unthinkable. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I guess I'm kind of saying the same point. Like, but if you cut this movement, you really slice the movement in pieces if you remove the access and the disparages. Like, once you remove that to where it's like, well, I'm actually living fine, so I now see this fool's move as crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I can see, like, oh yeah, that's bonkers. Why would I want this? Yeah.
Like, you know, kids in Beverly Hills they're not throwing up sets.
Right. No, because they don't need to. They're fine.
They don't need to. Yeah. Like, and I think that's the basic thing. You look at what happens, what inequality does to people. You have to look for secondary means of survival. And a lot of that is extra legal a lot of the time, or whatever comes out in these other ways. You become hateful. You turn that hate outward or whatever. But it's just a really difficult thing to grapple with, because I think watching this, Black people in America are just looking at the over and over again saying, well, shit, man, they can do fucking anything.
That's
all
what I'm
the
saying.
Time.
They got a force field. They got, they're like, you have a force field around your body. Like, you can do anything.
I always describe being like white in America as like having the star in Mario. Cause you could fucking walk off the side. You ain't dying. You walk through shit. They die. If anything, you don't have to do shit. You're omnipotent at a certain point.
Yeah.
But all of this comes together in a really, really unsettling way. And, you know, you look at already the situation in Buffalo, that market. Because of it's now an active crime scene, those people in that area, they have to go miles away to try and find groceries now, because we're already talking about an area that is already just not even that this is contributing to the shooting, but there are so many levels of inequality when you look at this problem. That's like just this, the place that it's in. The fact that Tops didn't even want to open a supermarket there because they were like, well, you know, demographically speaking, this might not be it. And those are the neighborhoods where these terrorists are coming to make them feel less safe, to make them feel that they deserve less than has already been offered. And it's not just obviously my heart bleeds for the people of Buffalo, but all people who look at shit like this and feel not safe and feel like, there's no protection. They feel like there's no solution. They feel like the people that they're said, hey, I'm gonna vote for you because this stuff's fucked up, and they don't do shit there, which was oddly enough on MSNBC right before they had this roundtable discussion talking about this. They sent somebody to upstate New York to talk to some voters, and these black voters were all, they said, oh no, they were in North Carolina. My bad. These black voters in North Carolina, they said, I don't know if I can even vote this year. And they like, that was a thrust. They're like, and we came to speak with these voters to see what's going on, like why the Democrats are doing so bad. And you saw these two black dudes in the store, and they just said, I don't know, man. Every time I vote, they say vote for me, and then this thing's gonna happen and doesn't happen.
Yeah,
like it's been happening, and it's and they're like confused. They're not. This dude wasn't even angry. The person next to him was just exasperated too. They're like, I don't know what to do, but every time I vote, I'm not seeing the shit that I'm being promised. And you cut to this next thing on MSNBC, and then the host is asking if the Democrats have a branding problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's,
branding's the issue here. Got it.
It's just like you're at a loss, because to everybody else, the solutions are so clear, man. People need fucking help. People need to feel protected. People need that.
Yeah.
The scourge of white supremacy snuffed out of the country. That's what they need. That's what a movement needs to look like. But again, because you have Democrats who are like just sort of like the, you know, woke cousins of the racists, they're like, well, that's my family, though. You know what I mean? Like, I can't push them too far too soon.
Yeah.
What meanwhile, we're going to see this shit go over and over because their cousins are saying the same shit over and over out loud on TV or on Twitter saying they're replacing us. You know what?
When you it's crazy. Like when you say, when you keep revealing what you're, the lines you're not willing to cross, those that are willing those crosses, willing to cross those lines, get more emboldened. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like
popular.
Like you said, I'm not gonna tell my racist Uncle Dave nothing because I still kind of need him. And Dave's like, "Where? Okay, well, you just told me you ain't gonna do nothing,
right?
Well, what about if I do this? Are you gonna do? Oh, you still not gonna do nothing,
right?
What if I take it? Oh, still not gonna do nothing. Okay, well, let me say the same thing. Exactly what I mean then.
That racist uncle, when they're about to do some racist shit, their friend might be like, "Well, what about your nephew? They're like, man, you gonna do shit,
right? Yeah, exactly.
And they keep it moving. They keep going. And that's the energy Republicans. Man, they're not going to do shit.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous mentality to have. Like, you know, when you've been in a situation and you're like, no, I'm going to press up on something. Or I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. Because you know what? No one's going to say shit. We're going to do shit about it.
Do shit. Yeah.
Then you got that Debo mentality. Yeah.
The white supremacists have been testing the fences and they're like, oh, these are fucking off.
Well, at this point, they're pretending to test the fences and they sneaking in every night.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
maybe the test isn't. They're like, man, don't worry. This is performative.
Yeah.
Get in there.
It's fine. They ain't going to do shit. Get in there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back. And, you know, we talked a few months ago about how Law and Order was back on the air and debuted with a somewhat baffling story about the murder of, basically it was Bill Cosby. It was a Bill Cosby type, but basically massive celebrity who was found to be a serial sexual abuser, is then murdered. And yeah, I mean, they... Law and Order has always pulled from the headlines, but like
ripped from the headlines.
Yeah. It feels like they're taking some liberties and also so taking some liberties with the writing and not spending a lot of time on the research front in some of these. So,
well, what's going on?
There's like they're just it feels like somebody's given them an assignment. Like, all right, we need one about Sacklers, one about Anna Delvey, one about Havana Syndrome. And man, I mean, it is some of these plots are what I would come up with if like I had 2 minutes, essentially. So there's a murder of a so Anna Delvey is the subject of that Netflix show. She was a con artist who basically convinced a bunch of people she was a socialite, but she was actually a con artist. So it's its entire genre of shows, the con artist show, basically. So in this episode of Law and Order, they're like, yeah, she gets killed. So there's a murder of a Delvey type. Now, they also were like, ooh, we need to get three of these in by week five. And so we're gonna double up right here. The murderer turns out to be the opioid-addicted nephew of a big pharma CEO who admitted to the nephew that he knows that Oxy is addictive. And so...
Okay.
So the DA's office tries the CEO for manslaughter with the strung-out murderer nephew as the star witness. And they forget about the original murder because they couldn't... There wasn't enough evidence.
I'm sorry. So they got somebody murking a lady. And then he's like, hey, I'll give up my uncle who runs a big pharmaceutical company. He's like, perfect. Okay.
And you only killed a national villain. So we're good. We're good.
People. Oh, it's like, it's like that logic at the end of like action films where like someone is like, well, I killed the guy that was actually framing me and you saw me kill them.
Right.
But you knew they were framing. So it's all good. Right. And they're like, great. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Right off in the sunset.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just doing the math and Yeah. No, this all cancels always like, out. Carry the one. Yeah. And
The no hero's all like, good. The hero's like on a gurney, like near an ambulance with like a blanket on. And they're like, you went through a lot, kid. But I was like, and the detective's like, I got that one wrong, huh? It's like, even though I killed 70 people on the way here.
Okay. The mayor comes up and tries to kiss them. They're like, sorry, I'm a one woman man.
So good. It's like you put every, I just feel like, Law and Order just like puts words on torn pieces of paper and throws them in a hat and shakes the hat and then it's like, all right, guys, five words, make a sentence.
Right.
You know, and then that's it. And this was, those were just the three that came out of the hat. They're like, opioid, murder, con artist.
Boom.
Done.
The next rip from the headline show, this one was hyped up as like the DA finally like loses one. This is the Rocky one of Law and Order episodes where the DA like doesn't come out on top. And the problem is that they have, you know, always popular on TV and in movies, not actually very useful or not actually very successful in court is the, I think it's like in movies it's called the insanity defense, you know, and it's just constantly, it's like, I'll just claim insanity. And the jury's like, we can't do anything with that. And in reality, it doesn't work like that. But in this episode, so it's called Severance. The episode, not to be confused with the Apple series Severance or the other Law and Order episode from 1992 titled Severance. They're now repeating episodes.
There's just too many shows. There's just too many shows. That's the moral of this whole section. There's just too many Law and Orders.
The disorder, like the mental state that drives this person to murder, is one that we've talked about before on this show. And if you were paying attention during those episodes, you're going to be a little bit surprised. So this is his ex-girlfriend testifying about the guy who murdered.
Colin was always really kind and gentle. But over the past year or so, he started getting angry, having violent outbursts, and the smallest thing would set him off.
Suffering from Hulkamania.
He was like a different person. I even considered leaving him at one point, and I feel terrible. I didn't realize it was the Havana Syndrome.
Straight from the headlines into your heart.
Bro, it could have been CTE. It could have been something that like
PTSD, you know, anything.
Like, he's got a lot of concussions.
Right.
My man said Havana Syndrome.
Wow.
So he claims his years long struggles with Havana Syndrome led him to black out and murder someone. And he says in the show, and this is a direct quote, it wasn't me. It was the symptoms.
Okay. Hold on now. They're right. Wait. Are they researching this?
He was found not guilty by reasons of mental disease. So, no, they're not researching it.
This is too many shows. You're out of ideas, guys. You're just out of ideas.
Yeah. So if you take every claim of Havana Syndrome at face value as true, like I do believe the people suffering from it do have the symptoms they have. Claim they have. I don't think anyone's sitting back making it up other than this Law and Order character.
Right.
But this is, they don't have the symptoms right. Like they don't even have like the general family of, it's like claiming that like chronic fatigue syndrome made you kill someone. It's like, the thing that the people have is like, it makes you like dizzy and sick and have you know, all sorts of issues, none of which is like it makes me
disoriented.
Into, right? So yeah. It's such a bad faith like addition to the conversation around Havana syndrome,
right?
Because it misstates what Havana syndrome is or what people claim it is, and then, you know, just like that kind of, yeah, bad footing from that point forward.
Right. Yeah, she drops it like it's a bar, like it's such a buildup,
right?
And then it's, and I'm like immediately taken out the moment when she was like, it's Havana syndrome. I'm like, wait, what? Like, yeah. I'm, you know, it's.
But it's, yeah, like, I know what you mean. One of those like a Nas verse. You're like, oh shit, he was the gun the whole time.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
It's supposed like a story. To be that,
right?
Right.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I'm like, that's not a bar, fam. Like, what?
Or like Immortal Technique, Dance with the Devil. At the end, you're like, wait, what? That was your mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know. Okay, this song isn't better because of that. But all right,
yeah. Didn't know it was his Havana syndrome.
It was his syndrome that did it.
It wasn't me. It was my syndrome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. I mean, yeah, not a good way to, you know, I mean, I don't know, unless the State Department is like, hey, man, we'll pay you to like really make this seem like it's like a terrible thing that makes people killers. So we can kind of go down.
Dang, that's possible.
The road to get aggressive with nations we suspect for being behind Havana syndrome. But this really does read like terrible, lazy writing. And you just took. I don't know. It's a syndrome, and it, people's heads were ringing. I don't know. Dre, keep their heads ringing, and let's just say there's a murderer.
Yeah. Hey, just call it Havana syndrome. It's fine.
Yeah,
like nobody knows what it is anyway.
It has most in common with Vertigo. Do we think that the Law and Order writers like just know that there's a Hitchcock movie called Vertigo, right. And they're like, and Vertigo is the killer in that one. So I think we know what's going on. It's like Jaws, The Birds, Vertigo.
Right.
Vertigo just makes you kill.
It's definitely a, I feel like what you said earlier, where it's like, I just need to turn the thing in.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
We just got to turn it in, guys.
Yeah. We're on deadline.
Like, and then, we find out that character, it's like, what do you do? Oh, he was a youth basketball coach.
Right.
Wait, so how did he get Havana syndrome? What? You know, he just got it because he was, I don't know, I think, you know, it was in Miami.
He like met
or
someone who had been in Havana.
Yeah.
I think
he was in, he was coaching youth basketball in Little Havana, Miami.
Yeah.
And like, what?
And that's where it came from.
That's, yeah, exactly. They're like, okay, we got to look into Lil Havana.
Dang.
Well, anyways, now this is the most I've paid attention to a season of Law and Order as it was happening in my life. So maybe they got exactly what they wanted.
But yeah, probably.
Prop, as always, truly a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
So honored to be here. Prop Hip Hop is the website and social media. PropHipHop.com and all my Prop Hip Hops. Also, we do a day party every first Sunday in Long Beach. It's called Real Ones. Really dope DJs, cool drinks, really good vibes. And the best part is it's over by 8 p.m. So
can
go home. Yeah. So pull up on me. June 5th is the next one.
Okay.
Amazing. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Man, I know this, I didn't understand the assignment, but here's my answer to that. It's not that so much that I've been enjoying it. It's that there's a social media thing that I'm sort of dreading that's going to make me enjoy. So I'm dreading the 500,000 think pieces that are going to come about Kendrick Lamar's record.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm dreading that my whole timeline is going to be full of that. But the part that I'm going to enjoy about this is the fact that he's not going to respond in any way.
Right.
Right.
He's not good or bad. You're not going to hear from him. He's going to go on tour and then go home.
Yeah.
So
he's one
feel
of those
like,
artists who's like, no, I do my thing. It's a one way conversation a lot of the time.
Yeah. I said what I said. You know, so what'd you mean when you said this in that song? Well, I said what I meant. It's in the song.
You can read it. Is there any, can you get any nuance out of that? I don't know. I haven't really listened to, sure.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting though. Yeah. I'm surprised. Yeah. I've my timeline has not been just up in
just K-Dot.
Up in you know, all just all kinds of think pieces quite yet, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm just like, they're coming. They're not there yet, but I'm like, I know they're coming.
It's a long album. It's a long, you're going to need to sit with it.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other shows, Mad Boosties, the basketball podcast. You know, new episodes going to be dropping Thursday. We'll be with a very special guest. Check it out. They're always special, but these are sometimes.
Such a great name, too. Like, kudos to the name of the show.
Oh, thank you.
All Miles.
It's brilliant.
It was on an And One t-shirt I couldn't afford as a kid. So. I always kept that in my mind. I'm like, I want that shirt that says got mad boosties. Yeah. some tweets brilliant. I like. Let's see. The first one I like is from Killjoy McCoy at Let's Go AO. Tweeted, the reason why all cultures have mermaids is because drawing legs is hard. And I totally felt that because... Yeah. Man, when I moved past stick figures, I fucking hated drawing legs.
The legs,
like,
man.
I couldn't draw feet. They always look like big old McDonald's, like Ronald McDonald feet and shit. I was
hands
terrible
and feet.
At it. So,
hands.
Yeah,
I was like, hands
and feet.
We need to come up
hands
with
hands and feet are hard.
We need a mythical figure that doesn't have hands that just has like.
When I was in art school, that was a whole semester class. Is
hands
and
feet.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense. Yep. Yeah, because, again, I would have been like, fuck it, man. I'm going to just do another disembodied head drawing.
Right.
I think more, like, fine artists should start doing... Like, there should be a trend where just, like, great works... Like, Mona Lisa has Simpson's hands. Like, just four fingers.
Simpson's or, yeah, Mona hands. Lisa has a Simpson ear. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just that... Because I learned, man, I damn near learned how to draw everything from Matt Graney. Yeah. Like... The ears I used to draw were like Homer's ears. Like, I was like, oh, shit, that looks good. And you're going to do like word seven squiggle. That's an ear. Okay,
easy.
Got it. Yeah. A tweet I like. Let's see. The other one, Noah at Noah Don't Care, tweeted, as a quote, I was born in 2007. Sounds fake as fuck. Nobody is born that late, bro. Sounds fake as fuck.
Nobody's born that late, bro.
Let's see. Adam Sirius, brow tweeting, tweeted, interviewer, what's your biggest strength? Me, flattery, interviewer. Okay. And your biggest weakness? Me, that smile, interviewer. Given the bashful face.
That's good.
And then PJ Evans tweeted, buying a used car. How many honks does it have left? I identify with not knowing shit about cars.
How many honks you got left?
I love it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. So, yeah, let me just get a look under the hood. Not literally.
Yeah. Kick a tire.
Yeah. I'm literally kicking tires. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
This is a track called Two Chords and the Truth. And it's like a really great, I've never heard of these people, but it's the artist is Maieli Manzanza. And there's other artists on here, Matt Daldin, Ashton Sellers, and a few others. And this is like, I don't know, this is a band, but the guy's playing like jazz guitar, kind of like Grant Green sort of jazz guitar. But the drummer is playing very like off kilter, like wonky, like almost Jay Dilla, like wonky drum beats. So it's a very interesting, like, I like when live bands like really reference hip hop a lot, but then also like stay true to whatever their expertise is on instrument. So again, this is called Two Chords and the Truth, but the main artist is Maiele, Myele, Manzanza, Manzanza.
All right. Well, we'll be linking off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.